Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Keller, your host, and boy, are we going to have 2 hours of fun today. It's time for, and I think it's been a while since we've done it. Oh, we played one not too long ago, the Flannel Panel. It's time for the Flannel Panel. We played one that we did. It was a recorded edition of the Flannel Panel. So we're back to live. We're back to live Flannel Panel. Flannel Panel is when Chris Check, Joe Heschmeyer, and I put on flannel shirts and we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. And when I say put on flannel shirts, I'm just using the broadest definition of the word flannel. Joining us from the Midwest, Joe Heschmeyer. Hey, Joe, welcome.
It's so good to be here. I'll just share with you what I share on the air what I shared with you beforehand, which is if you type into Amazon, a flannel shirt or flannel summer shirt. The top results are plaid shirts that are linen and not flannel. So the confusion between
it's Amazon. It's Amazon that confused us, Chris.
It's universal.
Also, exactly. Chris Check here, president of Catholic Answers. Hello, Chris Check.
I tend to exercise much more care about what I type into the search bar.
You do?
You're you should probably cut out the care and it would still be a true sentence.
Yeah, if your definition of flannel is flannel and not flannel,
then
two of you meet the definition.
Is it too loud in here for you guys? Here's the deal. I am getting to the age where I don't know if it's me or if it's the world when it comes to noise. Everything seems too noisy to me. I don't like restaurants in many cases. I might enjoy the restaurant. It might be good food. I might be happy with the people there. But almost invariably, the music is too loud. I find social events, sporting events, all kinds of things too loud. It feels like there's no space for silence. I'm getting it to our first story for today. But I wanted to check with you. Am I just becoming old? Or is it getting louder out there? What do you guys think?
I think it is both.
You are getting older.
What a good Catholic. I guess I'm definitely getting older. Yeah, I guess that wasn't very hard.
That we have with what's it called? Total moral certainty.
Yeah, right. Right.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So
the world is
OSHA
definitely
says. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
The world is definitely getting louder. I think of. I can't go to a Padres game anymore, because there's. But when the play stops, the music starts. Or actually, Joe and I were at a hockey game, which was a lot of fun in Kansas City. It was a ton of fun, but honestly, my ears...
It's hard to take.
My ears were ringing at the end of it.
I had a similar experience. I wanted to see SoFi Stadium, the beautiful stadium, the multi-billion dollar stadium they built in Los Angeles. So my son and I went to a Charger game. It was almost unbearable to me.
It is.
It never stopped. There was never a time where I could just talk to my son. Never, not once during the whole time we were in that stadium. It's not quiet anywhere. So, Joe, you look like you want to say something.
Well, yeah.
Are we too loud for you,
there's
Joe?
There's actually a... Yes, exactly. OSHA says 80 decibels, I think, is the standard at which it's actually a health hazard to be repeatedly exposed to noise at that level. Now, I mean, look, if you've got little kids, there's a good chance you're already... it's too late for you. You're going to get the hearing damage.
They're destroying your hearing as we speak.
Exactly. But yeah, there's soundprint.co. You can look up your city and see what the loudest and quietest venues are. And the loudest venues are a lot of them. It's not just concert halls. It's restaurants.
I love these people who did this. Because
yes.
I hate going to a restaurant. And I say to, I have to, my wife says it actually, because she's such a loving person. She goes, because she doesn't care. She knows I care. She goes, what's your quietest table? Can we have the quietest table?
Here's something. I will not eat in a restaurant because there's visual noise too.
If
it has a TV set, I will not eat there. I don't care.
We're maniacs. Oh, yeah. We're a society of maniacs, and it's getting worse. But here, this brings me to our first story of the day, news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Where do you go when you're looking for the news of the world? You go to People Magazine. So, are you too familiar with Sephora?
I was with 10 guesses, I wouldn't have gotten that.
You wouldn't have got People Magazine? magazine? You didn't think we were going to open with a People magazine story?
Sephora is that wicked store that markets makeup to 12-year-old girls who are influenced by Instapin.
See, I'm from Boston. Wicked means something different to us. Okay.
That's one of their chief clients.
Is that what it is? I don't know anything about Sephora.
Girls who have been influenced by other women or young ladies on.
Then you go and get the stuff.
Not Instagram. What's
Instagram?
The other one? Okay,
or TikTok.
Okay, and then you have to go buy the makeup.
My children were talking about how they got to FaceTalk with their cousins recently, and I thought of you, Chris, because.
Does he call
like
it FaceTalk?
Like a four-year-old, your knowledge of like the...
FaceTalk with me later.
Various media.
All right. Well, I was going to say that I love Sephora, but it's only because of this headline from People Magazine. Story by Angelique Brenes, published July 21st this month in People Magazine. Sephora announces global quiet hours to create a more inclusive shopping experience. Emma Miller of Love on the Spectrum helped introduce the initiative by sharing the experience through social media. Well, that helps build up the quiet. Social media is what we need for more quiet in our lives. A lot to cover there, but let me just read you a little more. I mean, a lot to respond to already. Sephora is introducing a quieter way to shop. The beauty retailer announced it's rolling out quiet hours globally, introducing designated shopping periods with lower music, reduced sensory distractions, and a calmer atmosphere designed for customers who prefer a less stimulating environment, which I believe is everyone, but I don't think they have figured that out yet.
I mean, I have to wonder if the noise isn't on purpose. Meaning, there are ways you can deaden the amount of sound in a place. Mm-hmm. And I think restaurants are purposely choosing not to do that because it'll feel dead. I think because we associate a certain level of background noise with the dining out experience. Like if you went into a restaurant that was just quiet inside, it might feel lifeless.
I would go there
and
every day.
I think that they're
worried. I would go there every day. It would be my daily. I got to just go to my quiet restaurant if they would just be quiet somewhere. As a matter of fact, I do know one restaurant that's quiet, and we go there quite a bit, actually.
I thought Joe was going to say something suspicious about this decision by Sephora.
All right, so tell me, why are you suspicious?
Well, I don't know if I am or not. And I'm sorry to sound like I might detect some cynicism here.
Okay.
Listen, I don't think retailers do anything at all that is not related to making more money.
Okay. Correct.
Yeah, and so this has a certain air of virtue signaling, I guess, because we're trying to make the store more hospitable to people who who was the woman who helped
her name
so she's on the spectrum.
Yes, she's from the TV show Love on the Spectrum.
So she herself has autism?
I would assume so. They're very fond in People Magazine of the term neurodivergent. So
yes.
that would seem to be...
Okay, so you can't say autism?
No, you know what? This is such a scam of magazines coming up with new ways to say things all
I wanna
the time.
I want to say what you can say.
But neurodivergent is a good word.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's...
That's
fine. Yeah, but... But yes, so this is for the neurodiversity community. Yes.
Is that a large community?
I think it's huge myself. I think I'm in it. Okay. I think it's so much bigger than anybody. If it involves people that don't like noise and light shows everywhere they go,
okay, well then
I think it's a huge population.
And then I am completely squarely in the middle of neurodivergent also.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, I'm not shopping for lipstick.
Well... Anymore. Congratulations, Chris. Now, well, you never had daughters. You never had daughters.
That's true. I didn't. So. Yeah. I think this is great, and I hope more stores do this. Whether their motives are cynical or not, I would like to go into more quiet stores. I would also like to suggest that stores, in addition to adopting quiet hours, adopt closed hours. When they're closed, So, for example, Sundays.
Oh my gosh, I know. That would contribute. Yes. Joe, do you remember this? When we were in Germany, they were telling us about how Sunday is not a day for doing stuff in Germany. Do you
correct?
Remember?
It's like very much a family day.
And like
it's weird. As much as we can lampoon the Germans for having loss of faith, in certain cultural ways, they are
more, way more
obviously. Obviously Christian. Obviously capitalist.
So I think there's actually a lot of Catholic momentum in Europe. And whereas the United States started as a Protestant sort of slash Enlightenment country, those things didn't get they didn't have quite the history behind them.
Yeah. Because in Germany, it's clearly it's not a matter of a renewal of the Christian spirit. It's a habit they never lost.
Well,
they held on to Sunday is not a day for commerce.
2 years,
really hard.
2 years ago, the Czechs were in Vienna for Holy Week and Easter, part of Easter week. Everything in Vienna was closed on Easter Monday.
God bless them.
Sunday, yes.
You can't get people to close on Good Friday in America.
Easter Monday.
No. They play baseball on Good Friday.
Grocery stores, everything. And then when Christine and I were headed to the airport, we ended up having to spend an extra day in Zurich after our cruise. Everything in Zurich was closed on Sunday. Restaurants were open. And there was a little convenience store in the train station. But there was no retail shopping.
I think Joe and I suffered tremendously in Germany because I think we got there. The Sunday we got to the town we were going to was, I think, Pentecost Sunday, if I remember right, Joe. I might be wrong about what the feast was. And restaurants were closed. We had a terrible time finding a restaurant because it was.
Yes, that's right.
I think we, and I'll tell you about the suffering. I think we ended up having to have pizza and ice cream for dinner.
That's right. I'm very sorry.
It was the only thing that was open.
So rough.
So.
You know, until recently, you couldn't buy booze in the whole state of Minnesota on a Sunday. Any alcohol.
Well, around here.
Well, the brew laws.
On the Kansas side, you can't buy it Sunday afternoons. You can only buy it during church. I don't know. I don't understand what the thinking is there. They stop at noon. It doesn't really make sense.
They make you choose? Like, I can. Exactly. It's booze or the church.
Maybe it's in case you're about to start Mass and you realize you're short, you need to get more sacramental wine. I don't know. It's pretty strange.
This is something that all Flannel Panel listeners can do. If you're troubled by stores being opened on Sunday, don't shop on Sunday.
Yeah.
True. That's a good point.
If there's no economic incentive to do it,
just don't stop on Sunday. And maybe it will move the needle, maybe it won't.
Well, 2 years ago.
To your point about Sephora, if I may, I wanted to get back to the thing you said about autism rates and ASD, autism spectrum disorder, are way up. And there's a lot of debate about why, and I'm purposely not going to touch any of that debate.
It's vaccines.
But in 2002. Looking at kids who were born in 1994, the rates were about 1 in 150. This is the CDC's data. In 2022, looking at those born in 2014, so 8-year-olds then, but getting to be right in that age where they're buying products at Sephora they don't need now, 1 in 31 rather than 1 in 150.
Yeah.
That is an enormous increase.
Well,
like a fivefold increase.
That's terrifying.
So
what are the?
I know some people do attribute this to vaccines, but some of the science there isn't present. But there are a lot of hormones and foods. This one gets blamed from time to time.
There's also some arguments that just said we're reporting more cases that wouldn't have been reported before.
Sure.
It can be a little, when you say spectrum. A lot of just being a nerdy boy can read as on the spectrum,
but
where you have a little trouble relating to people and you're super focused on trains. It's like, well, who isn't? Come on. Maybe that's self-reporting. I don't know right there, but.
Well, the thing about it, okay, so let's say if maybe at a certain point 50 years ago, you would say, well, that person's odd. You know, that's what you weren't around then, Joe, but we used to say things like that. Oh, that person's odd. And now that person might have a medical diagnosis. Well, that's an advance. We've made progress there. But it seems that society didn't make progress as far as being a place that where people could function who were out of the norm. So I'm actually glad some attention is coming to this noise thing. And like Chris said, the light show, you know, there's a video screen pollution everywhere. This is not good for us.
There's a pizza chain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a pizza chain here in San Diego. They actually make pretty good pizza. OGs.
Yeah. Oh, TVs and sound everywhere. Yeah.
If we get pizza from OGs, we just do takeout.
Yeah,
because you cannot go inside. You can't.
Some people can, but I think those people are the actual divergent ones. So I gotta take a break. But I just want to finish with this point, which is, we've made the world inhospitable, and if people who are neurodivergent are saying, hey, we can't go to Walmart if you've got all this crazy stuff going on. And I'll read you a little bit when we come back if you want about what Walmart's doing. I think that they're helping all of us. If we make a place that's welcoming to the person who can't handle the noise or the lights or can't, you know, step over extremely high stairs, there's a way in which it makes the place more hospitable to all of us.
Yes.
And I find this really good.
Yep.
And if you own a restaurant, please turn it down. We'll still come eat there. You just turn it down. All right, I got to take a break.
Very quick. Okay.
Take the break?
I was going to say something very fast. The Kansas City International Airport has a sensory room for people who are overwhelmed by the noise of just an airport.
No, they should have
and
a loud room
because
where if you want to, everything else should be quiet. Like, stop it.
You've got airplanes. There's only so much you can quiet that whole thing down.
Yeah.
But it's great to just have a room where if you need a space to decompress, you don't need a diagnosis. Just go in there to be quiet and then you can kind of recover. It's also a good place to pray, by the way.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good place to sort of get away from the hubbub.
That's right. Don't get me started on airports, though. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. More Flannel Panel, where we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from Catholic Chemistry, a dating app for Catholics. Founded by a longtime member of the Catholic Answers team, CatholicChemistry.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with a gospel message. EWTN broadcasts the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass live every day, plus the Daily Rosary with Mother Angelica and Father Benedict Groeschel. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist extraordinaire, author of many wonderful books, including The Eucharist is Really Jesus, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, and many others. One of our guests, and Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, one of our guests. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. From time to time, we put on flannel shirts.
Some of us do.
I knew it. And we talked
actually,
about
actually one of us.
Joe and I both forgot. We're flannel divergent.
You guys have been saying you forgot for the past 8 episodes or whatever.
The last one we did, all three of us had flannel
on
shirts
on the cruise.
That was on the cruise. Yes. So, all right, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a quiz on rudeness. The Guardian, you know, the liberal newspaper, the British newspaper?
Oh, yeah, the one that has a fundraising thing at the bottom of every article.
Yeah, because you got to fight the...
Tyranny.
The powers.
Yeah.
And the Guardian is going to do that for you. Yeah, give to the Guardian, that'll clear things up. sorry, Guardian. That's a little bit unconvincing. By the way, I go to Wikipedia sometimes. They also seem to be short of funds, and I have no intention of helping them because to me they seem very biased. Am I alone in this camp?
It's gotten really bad. You get a small group of really passionate people with way too much time on their hands who are really controlling about what you are and aren't allowed to say. And it's like, hey, you are undermining the whole spirit of Wikipedia in the first place.
And that's one thing we don't want to do, Joe, is undermine the spirit of Wikipedia. All right.
I'm just saying, the original idea of Wikipedia was great.
Yeah, that's right.
It's completely been thwarted by...
I often feel the main problem with the world is people.
Actually, Joe is identifying a social reality here. And I don't like these shorthands, but we're short for time. So I'll just say... It is a trait of the left to be more active, right? I mean, Pascal says...
Well, you know the old joke about why that is, because right-wingers have jobs. Well, but that's that. I'm sorry. Yes. It's just a joke. It's just a joke.
Well, Pascal says something along the lines of most of the problems in the world are caused by people who are not content to be happy at home.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Yeah. I think that's very much...
So there is a spirit of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, change, agitation, that doesn't tend to exist in...
The revolutionary spirit, the helper. I'm going to help. I'm going to make the world a better place. Almost nobody... Well,
Jesus tried to make the world a better... He did, in fact, make the world a better place.
No, Jesus actually did.
He actually did make the world a better place.
And if you want to make the world a better place, cooperate with Jesus.
Yep. Yep.
That's the way to do it.
Receive him every day.
All right, how not to be rude in 2026. This is the article. All right. And I made it into a quiz for you guys. And I'll only give you a few of them, but I thought I'd give you a few. Because some of this stuff, I didn't actually know how to do it. Like they have one of their things about how not to be rude is the proper way to include someone in a WhatsApp chat. And I was like, I wouldn't even know where to find a WhatsApp chat. So some of it, I only kept the ones that I knew what they were. But hey, here's one. For example, what does the article How Not to Be Rude in 2026 published in the Guardian newspaper say that guests should avoid doing at the modern wedding? So remember, these are rude things that have become common in the modern world. They're trying to tell you to stop these things. What is the rude thing guests are doing at modern weddings?
Congratulating the couple?
No, really? That's rude?
You're
trying to think what the Guardian would say? Go ahead.
Because there is a weird debate about whether you congratulate the bride or not, or just congratulate the groom.
Well, that's old
because
fashioned.
The idea is that it's somehow insulting to congratulate the bride because obviously she's marrying down.
Yeah, you congratulate the groom because he won. He won her heart.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was the old. That actually was the etiquette,
it was a perfectly reasonable guess, is what you're telling me.
Something I loathe at weddings, but this is at the reception. It's not at the wedding. It is when best men especially make off-color toasts.
Oh, that is off-putting. I don't like any of that stuff at a wedding.
This is
a dignified thing.
Yeah.
Treat it with dignity.
Indeed.
People are using the wedding to make their own social media content.
What?
They're like posting.
Okay, I would not have guessed that.
Really?
I was at a wedding recently and I did not do this.
I think that's incredibly rude. Like, this is someone else's wedding.
The notorious example of this is people who propose at weddings.
Oh my God. You know what? Have a baby at the wedding. Do all this stuff that makes the bride less the center of her own day.
Exactly.
Like, how can we make the bride less
of this? It used to be if you were a woman and you wore white to a wedding, that was rude.
Yeah. Is that still rude?
I don't know.
A new thing that people are doing in public places. this could be anything now. I see my own question is kind of, but it's a technological thing. People do in public places. Don't do this.
Talk out loud on the phone.
Speech to text.
You're both in the ballpark, watching TikTok videos with the sound up.
People do that on airplanes. Oh, I've seen this on airplanes.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a video I thought about sharing on that. I realized I had no reason to do this. I got a video of my flight recently. I was going from Pittsburgh to Nashville and it was already like an hour late. So it's already a frustrating flight. And before we got on, a guy was told he could not go on the flight because he was overserved. And
that's going to go well.
He had a really uncomfortable conversation.
Is this Pittsburgh or not?
Oh, man. He had a very uncomfortable conversation with what I assume was his girlfriend, who was apparently not surprised. And this is all on speakerphone. And he was blaming everyone else. And she I think, saw right through this. And meanwhile, while all of this is happening, another woman is listening to rap with no headphones on, just like playing music at volume.
Insane.
And I was just like, how is all of this happening at once? Well, we get on the plane and they ask her to put in headphones or turn it off. And she turns it off. And as soon as they walk away, she turns it back on. And then she does this several times. And we like push the button and we're like, she keeps doing this. And so four people told her to stop. And then they told her she had to get off the plane. And then she refused to get off the plane. And then they said we were all going to get off the plane if she didn't. And she was like, fine, they all have to. And then finally they're like, we're calling the police on you. Yeah. And it was only then that she eventually, it was bananas. And
but
so,
you know,
so
it, that, that's
watching TikTok.
That's obviously a person who is way outside the norm. But there's people who will get on the plane while talking on the phone and just sit there in seat while you're on the tarmac, or they're watching a video really loud.
At full volume.
Like, it's unbelievably bad phone behavior. I believe there should be some kind of, well, we'll talk about it more when we get back.
The one I don't like is taking off the shoes.
Oh, good Lord.
Keep your shoes on the airplane, please.
Yeah, but do eat that sandwich that's only onions. Don't forget to do that. Right back with more How Not to Be Rude in 2026 on the Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Throughout history, some Catholics have been among the worst kind of villains, right? Or were they? In Canceled, historian Steve Weidenkopf digs into the lives and controversies of some of these Catholics whose reputations have been blackened, often unfairly. He takes on the anti-Catholic versions of history and defends not only these figures, but the faith they represent. Order your copy of Canceled today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. It's Flannel Panel today. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest. Chris Check, our guest. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Flannel Panel, we put on flannel shirts, talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. How not to be rude in 2026. I'm just going to give you two more of those, and then we'll go on to another news story. What does the article say people should remove before interacting with a cashier in the grocery store?
Headphones.
Yeah.
That's it? Yeah. Headphones. People, apparently, this has become quite common and is wildly rude. If you do this, knock it off. You're dealing with a human being, not a robot. You have your headphones in and you're talking to someone else. Yeah. Nothing could say you don't matter to me at all more clearly than that.
I think the underlying thing here is that these can be very engrossing. I mean, we were talking about this over the break, but I think people are not even often consciously aware of how rude their behavior is. Like, I will go further because I know some people listening to this show right now need to hear it.
They're walking around the grocery store right now.
Yeah.
Not on vibrate, but on ring. In most public settings, that is viewed as rude by almost everyone under 40.
Yeah.
When you're getting beeps and buzzes and rings, the number of times I hear this during Mass, I was just at daily Mass a few days ago, and our Lord was testing me. There was a woman there who was just getting and sending text messages, and she was five rows behind me. And
no.
Every time she got one, I could hear it.
Come on,
lady. It was in church. And it was just like, what
go
are you
outside.
Doing here?
Here's actually something. I actually have been to Mass for most of my life without a cell phone.
That's a long Mass.
Without, very good. For most of my life, I have been going to Mass without a cell phone.
Yeah.
And now I just, can you not be an hour without your phone? Just leave your phone on the desk at home.
I have to say, I have a reason. I can't, Chris, because it won't count my steps if I leave it at home. And I got to know how many steps I got in today.
Wait, okay, so
you get like at least 50 during communion.
Like that's half my steps for the day is just getting up to communion. So definitely I need those counted.
I think Joe's point about that he made there about I mean, I forget the point you made, but it was a good point.
That it's engrossing.
Yeah,
engrossing. People become so engrossed in their own experience with their phone that they just don't step outside of that.
Sort of overlaps what Joe was saying, but all of these devices and the platforms and the various media have had the effect not of uniting us, but isolating us. And so when you, it's actually because of the phone itself, it's not unrealistic or unreasonable at this point for the person carrying it around to think, I'm the only person here, because I've become so atomized.
The real world is not real anymore.
It is.
So the people in it don't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is what's in the phone.
You said it better than I did.
Yeah. Well, I was putting it together from what you were saying.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just do one more. I want you two to struggle with this, but I don't think you're going to struggle at all. All right. How not to be rude in 2026 is the article from The Guardian. What does the article claim people are increasingly assuming it is acceptable to bring with them when they are invited into social situations, including other people's homes?
Pot.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I have no idea.
Wait, they're bringing something with them.
That they're assuming it's acceptable
to bring.
It
can't be children.
It is acceptable to bring children.
Yeah, of course.
Well, unless there's somebody, you could be invited to something.
Yeah,
that's,
you get a minus one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you're going to know. Oh, I'm glad you struggled with this a little bit, because I want you both to go, I should have seen that coming.
The phone.
People, even when they're invited to someone's house, bring their dog.
Oh,
gosh. Don't leave the dog at home.
Yeah.
They assume the dog is welcome everywhere. You get invited to a barbecue, bring the dog. You get invited wherever you go, the dog is, you don't ask, you just assume dogs are welcome.
Don't do this, my friend.
I asked my wife if she wanted to visit some friends recently, and she said, last time we were there, their dog continually jumped on me, and they didn't do anything about it. And so
That's bad.
I guess we'll give it a pass. So, yeah, I know there's a dog lover on the panel itself.
We would never do this.
No, that's right.
No, like it's true.
It's
we would never do this.
Yeah, I don't think most
dogs
people
that
have...
Dogs aren't people. I would like to go on record
dogs
saying,
are not the problem. The people who think the dog is welcome everywhere are the problem. Why would you assume that? But they do. I think dogs have become actual fur babies.
So this is the word that we use, that we get from time to time. People will send us an inquiry about a puppy, and they'll say, we need to add a fur baby. And we know people who push dogs around in strollers. That's not good for the dog, by the way. The dog should walk. It's good for dogs to walk.
It's not good for the rest of us either when we look in and we're expecting to see a baby and we see a dog and we immediately have a gag reflex.
He looks just like
oh my gosh, look at that baby. Holy smokes, look at that baby. Don't do that to us.
It's funny because at the Vons here, which is the grocery chain, people bring their dogs in there. And if they're toy dogs, they'll put them in the basket, which is where I'm going to be putting my vegetables, not knowing that their dog was in the basket.
Ugh.
And that's really gross. But now I see people walking full-size dogs around in Labradors and Shepherds.
Yeah, which are lovely, beautiful dogs. I'm so glad
you
have the dog.
Your big dog.
What are you doing in a grocery store, a place where they sell food with your dog? Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trader Joe's has a sign out in front that says, your pet is not welcome in here.
Does it say that?
Yeah. I mean, I think they have a slightly nicer word. Service animals.
Yeah, but if you've got cookie butter on the inside, people will leave the dog outside to get in there.
Yeah.
All right.
World is nuts.
And the world is nuts. On we go. Catholic Answers recently on its blog Indulgences, which is the best name for a Catholic blog ever created.
I don't get it.
You don't get it? I think you came up with it.
Well, maybe Todd
did. Todd is quite a clever
fellow. Todd's very clever.
He's a partial indulgences. That's when you don't get your story done. If you don't get the
yeah, exactly.
Joe, is your article ready? Half done. Partial indulgence. Catholic Answers recently came out full throated attack on the use of.
Okay, it was not an attack
on the use of piano in liturgy. Catholic Answers.
It also wasn't institutional. There was an article.
No, we're all.
And it was an opinion piece. It was labeled opinion.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was not bellicose or vitriolic.
That's true. All right. So
it was correct.
Okay. Then now here's what I'm looking for. Is the piano an offensive instrument to the liturgy?
Offensive is the wrong word. It doesn't belong in the sanctuary.
Oh, in the, well, what are we saying, in the liturgy or in the sanctuary?
Why would you have it in the sanctuary if you're not going to use it in the liturgy?
Or because of the organs of the pipe.
Well, no, because there's plenty that have it in the back.
Yeah.
So like we have a choir loft that has a spot for the choir and an organ and a piano. The piano is basically used. It was used actually a couple weeks ago as a backup when the power suddenly went out during Mass. And so they were able to, because the organ uses electricity, they were able to use the piano instead.
Which, by the way, the article said is an occasion when you might turn to a piano, or if you were in a rural parish and this is all that you had available to you. But by sanctuary, I mean the fullness of the space. It doesn't belong. It's not a liturgical instrument. That's a good way to say it.
There's a 2007 USCCB document that specifically says you shouldn't put it in a visibly conspicuous place.
If
you have a piano in your church. Well, it actually says placement of the organ console and pipes, speakers of amplified instruments and acoustic instruments such as a piano is determined by visual consideration, so there is no distraction from liturgical action, and by acoustical consideration, so the sound can support the congregation, and so the instrumentalist is readily able to accompany cantors, psalmists, and choirs. So you are allowed to have a piano in church. It is permitted. So it is a liturgical instrument in as much as it is a liturgically licit instrument explicitly, but it should be in an inconspicuous place. And I would agree that it is not the most fitting instrument. Although,
and
frankly,
there is
superior to like guitar.
It is superior to guitar. I don't know. Like a little quiet nylon string guitar. I don't mean one of these folk guitars with the steel strings, which are very inappropriate. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All my what are they called?
Okay, but
charismatic friends.
Why? I don't think either of you have made the case.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, so why?
It's a percussion instrument. The piano is a percussion instrument, and that's why it's.
And what about percussion is anti-liturgical? Is against liturgy? What makes it?
It does not accompany the human choral voice as harmoniously, as coherently as the organ does.
The organ is more like the human voice.
It is.
So the human voice is the really the
is the central feature of the liturgy of liturgical music.
I got you. Are you? Does this make sense to you, Joe?
Piano is actually not a percussion instrument.
Sure, it is. Yes, it is.
Percussive. I mean, like
dimensions.
It has a hammer. Actually, it has something called a hammer.
Yeah.
That's what it's actually. It has actually. Wait a minute. Let me go back. It has 88 hammers, not just one.
I understand that.
Right.
But
I would say that's a percussion instrument on crack. 88 hammers.
All right. So, Joe, but your point was what?
It also is, so things like the hammered dulcimer They also question whether it's, because it has some percussive qualities, but it is stringed. So anyway, all of that is to say there is a very technical debate we can get into there. It's different in kind from something like, you know, drums or something like this. So I understand the argument, but I think piano is more like organ than it is like drums, right? I mean, would that be fair to say?
You can play the notes of an octave on a piano.
Right, in a way that you can't on like a gong
snare drum
or cymbals or something like that.
Yeah, well, okay, so, there is something else, though, because Joe did mention that there's a 2007 document, of which I was ignorant, but I would like to share it with some folks I know who have a piano front and center in their sanctuaries. And by now, by this, I mean sanctuaries or right outside where the altar rail used to be or should be. But Pius X actually published a document on this question.
Yes, in 1903.
Yeah. So in our lifetimes. And he calls the piano a profane instrument. Sure.
Yeah, he says the employment of the piano is forbidden in church, as is also that of noisy or frivolous instruments such as drums, cymbals, bells, and the like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, by the way,
has been relaxed.
He is a saint.
Yes,
He's a saint. Pope St. Pius X.
Right, but this certainly wasn't the central point of his pontificate. And so you could say, well, this might be a lasting and durable point, or this might be something that, it's certainly not something the church has focused on over the last 120 years.
I would
years.
Say she's largely ignored it.
Right. So it's hard to say what the force of that is. I mean, here's the thing. This is what I want to get to. I think to most Catholics, when they read an article about how the piano does not belong in church, it is utterly outside of their understanding. So I see that and I go, all right, that's controversial, not because it's wrong, but because it's utterly foreign to people to think about. Yes.
I want to answer this exact question that I anticipate you're asking. There is a reason for this, why we got the reaction that we did. Or why people might
have... Well, what reaction did we get?
Well, I actually don't know. There were a handful of people who were... I don't look at the social, so I don't know how that went. You'd have to ask Thomas. But there were a handful of people, some of whom who played piano in church.
In church, yeah. Right.
who were nonplussed or even irritated.
Right.
But nonplussed is a word that means nothing because it means two opposite things.
It means confused. Nonplussed means confused.
Are you going to say inflammable means nothing because it means two different things?
I am going to say
dust means nothing because it means two opposite things.
Two opposite things, and you have to figure out from
no from context.
It means either perplexed or unperplexed.
Yes. Okay. So, but Chris's point, I think, is fairly taken that people were annoyed at this.
I'm going to tell you why.
Why? Yes. Go ahead.
Because they do not have, and have not for now going on a couple of generations, the regular experience with the fullness of the church's musical liturgical tradition, which is choral.
This, I think, is exactly right. I think you are exactly right on that. But
is there a way to note this?
That I said that you are exactly
in the show notes or something?
I totally agreed with Chris. It's just to me that this is going to come out of left field for people where it... I think we have to...
For whom what I call the Frozen Mass or the My Little Pony Mass or some of the more recent settings, which sound more like a kind of a Disney Broadway production... Then in keeping with, well, let's just say Gregorian chant.
Right. Okay. So let's say, what would be the strategy for returning us to the...
I'm going
to
answer this one too.
Okay.
I'm going to answer this one too. Support a local San Diego organization called Canticle, which is operated by our dear friend, Marianne Carr Wilson. Look them up. And this magnificent woman is training young people how to chant.
There's
another thing.
And by the way, she's going all over the country and doing it, and she's not the only one. But let's start.
No, Archbishop Corleone has that institute, the Benedict XVI.
Precisely. Good. Let's give them a shout out as well. Yep. Let's learn how to chant. Send your kids to chant camp.
Edgar did a poll on YouTube. It came out this way: should the piano be played during the liturgy? Yes, there are worse instruments. Wait a second.
Okay, that's a
pretty low standard.
Yes, no saxophones. Let's get the saxophone out of the.
Yes, it's beautiful and fitting. 26%. So 61% say yes. Let's have the piano. Don't really care. 22%. Absolutely not. Not appropriate.
83% either. 17% or apathetic.
So we took the 20 on the 80-20 split on this one.
Well, I did. I guess
less than 20.
Yeah. Well, I think when people begin to experience and appreciate again the church's long-standing and magnificent polyphonic choral tradition, their lives are going to be transformed.
I could not agree more.
This is actually where I think a better argument could be made, because I think when the focus is on banning the piano, this doesn't work, because most people's liturgical experience, maybe not most, but many people's liturgical experience, the piano is the least offensive instrument that they're going to encounter liturgically. And so it feels like being quite precious, you know, in the face of like, oh, there's a guitar over here. And like, but there's also a piano. And it's like, okay, but when you put forward the positive vision, when you have something like, let's have a children's scola, when you, you know, restore polyphonic music, when you do all, like, people actually putting forward the positive liturgical vision, I think that's going to get much more traction than just saying what not to do. I think we need to do a better job of pointing in a better direction liturgically.
Yeah, I agree. Find a parish in your diocese, my friends, that has a good scola, and attend a mass in which they are singing the praises of God, and your heart is going to grow three times that day.
I tell you who
that's
really...
Call a doctor if that happens.
No, it happened to Grinch. To the Grinch, and it really was very...
I don't know.
Well, it was good for his health.
And actually, the Who's were singing.
Yeah,
that's what.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Right back with more Flannel Panel news of the world from a Catholic perspective on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I pray that EWTN News In Depth will help the everyday life of everyday Catholics by bringing them the news that matters to them and helping them to have the information at their fingertips for whatever it is that they need to be able to engage with the world confidently with their faith.
EWTN News In Depth with Montse Alvarado, Friday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Sometimes I have a news story I want to share with Chris and Joe because I just want to hear their reaction to the first paragraph. I just want to hear what because I sometimes can guess. Quite often I cannot guess what their reaction will be. But this is a Reuters story. Categorize Reuters. But June 19th, Norway imposes a near ban on AI in elementary school. Oslo, June 19th, Norway is imposing a near ban on the use of generative AI tools by elementary school pupils, while also restricting their use in the education of older children to prevent a negative impact on learning, the country's prime minister said on Friday. Facing a broad decline in education test scores, the government in 2024 banned smartphones from schools and has given teachers back more powers to enforce discipline in the classroom. I wonder how you respond to this.
How much are tickets to go to Norway?
To get to Norway?
I'm going to tell you what's...
You know, if we're moving the Catholic Answers office, you go a little further east. Just
This is a direct effect already of the intercession of Sigurd Undset.
Oh, I hope I hope you're right about that.
Can you give some context for people who are not...
Sigurd Undset...
She was a church piano player from the 19th century.
Sigurd Undset is the greatest lady novelist of all time, and she got
and maybe a saint.
And her cause was recently opened by the Bishop of Oslo.
This is what I thought. Now, see, neither of you said what I thought you were going to say. Is who was the idiot who thought AI tools for elementary pupils was ever a good idea?
You know,
why did we have to ban this? Why are there no adults to go, stop it? You cannot use generative AI in an elementary school.
My friend Dan Kerr and I were talking about this the other day, and we said about it at the same time that we pity that I'm so glad I did not grow up with AI.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how malformed you would be?
I hardly grew up with I.
I think your I is A.
Okay.
You know, in his encyclical, which I finally read.
You did. You read it. What, Magnifica.
42 and some change, 1,000.
Bless you.
Words. But one of the points that he makes in there, around paragraph 90 or so, we should be very careful about this use of the word intelligence, because that's not what it means.
Yes, right. It's not.
It's not intelligence. He says it mimics human intelligence. It can compute faster than human intelligence, but it's not intelligence.
Right. Right. I even a lot of people in the AI field will say, don't just say LLM.
Large language model.
They'll be like, this is not AI. There's nothing AI about it.
The problem is that the word artificial can mean either fake or man-made.
Right.
So
I mean, that's the Latin.
Facere
to make.
Artifice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So made by a human person or an artisan.
Right? I want to tell you the radical change that they're making in Norway to replace AI for 6-year-olds. I can't believe that they're just now thinking, oh, that's a bad idea, AI for 6-year-olds. This is the radical. They're going to teach them. This is what they're going to teach 6-year-olds in Norway.
Okay.
Clearly, they have got some deep thinkers there in Norway. They're going to focus on three things. They want them to be able to read, write, and do mathematics.
And raid. Oh, sorry. The old Viking R's. Reading, writing, and raiding.
Those are the Viking R's, the three R's of Vikingism. Although, except for reading and writing.
Yeah,
that's your point. No, there was another R in there we can't say on the air, but they were Vikings. Read, write, and do. This seems so basic to me. I'm sorry, but like, how did we talk ourselves into the idea that technology was important in the education of children? It is clearly not.
I was talking about this at the park this morning. I took the kids to the park. We ran into a mom with a 6, 4, and 2-year-old. We have a 6, 4, and 2-year-old. So our kids were hitting it off. And turned out we were both like parents of Montessori kids. And the other mom was saying she was considering sending her kids to Catholic school after this. And one of the concerns she had is that they allowed technology in the classroom. And so it was a step down to go from a non-Catholic Montessori into a Catholic school because it was going to be a bunch of devices in the classroom, mm-hmm. which she hadn't been used to before. And so she spoke to the principal about it. And they talked about Anxious Generation, the Jonathan Haidt book.
Yep.
It was like a New York Times bestseller and is all about the dangers of technology on kids. And the principal's like, yeah, I've read it. But the problem is, and I know this because I was privy to some of this stuff, it was pretty, like within the last decade, say five, six, 7 years ago, schools were raising money on getting technology in the classroom.
Yes, right. I was going to say this exactly.
That was a terrible idea. We need to get rid of all of
it. It's a very easy thing to get a gift for, the computer lab.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Like, can I tell
books?
You?
Books. I think we give the children books. We have two wonderful donors, one who pays for the domestic, we give away books for free, and yep. one who pays for the international. I don't know how many books we give away on this show every year, but I'm proud of the, and gratified too for the people
who gave
the money.
France just shut down social media for anybody under 15. That was announced yesterday.
And they're working on smoking. All right, we are going to take a very, very quick break. News of the world from a Catholic perspective. Don't let your kids learn from the AI. Give them a book. Right back with more right after this.